This show contains discussions of violence, murder, abuse, suicide, some use of language, and other things that some people may find offensive. We don't recommend Crime Cafe for children under the age of 14. Listener discretion is advised. Today, we're telling the story of Chelsea Brooke. This story will break your heart, make you angry, but also it will make you fearful. It will drive you to question your decisions even more than you already do, because you'll soon ask why and how and for what. What is the point of anything? What is the point in doing anything or going anywhere with or without someone as a woman? This is a story of how one man can so easily take advantage of not only women, but the whole legal system. This is the story of the murder of Chelsea Brooke. Welcome or welcome back to this episode of Crime Cafe Podcast. I'm Amber.
I'm Coral.
And we have been on a break, mm-hmm. as most of our listeners probably know. Mm-hmm. But we are back just in time for October for the spooky season.
Yep. And we hyped it up on Instagram. We told you guys we were taking a break. You guys were so sweet and kind.
Yes.
We really thank you. There was so much that went on during that time. And I don't know. We really needed the break. And plus, October is going to be a huge month for the listeners and for us, because we're releasing way more frequently.
Yes.
Just for October. And you'll notice that most of the cases we're going to cover are missing people or unsolved cases. We've got a few extra things here and there. You know, we've got a serial killer. We've got all kinds of stuff. And some of them are going to be long, some of them are going to be shorter, but we're bringing you guys a lot of extra stuff, and most of these cases all happened in October.
Yes.
As close to Halloween as possible.
Yes.
Okay. So, do you have anything you want to say?
No?
Okay. Also, wait, can I just say real quick?
Yeah.
Like 3 weeks into our break, we started getting threats from listeners.
Yeah.
They were like, if you don't come back, I will jump off a bridge. I'm like, don't scare me like that. Okay. Today's story takes place in October of 2014. Yeah.
I can think back to that time.
That's... I know. I was like 19.
I was 18.
Yep.
Fresh out of high school.
I just turned 19. Okay. So, Chelsea Brooke was a young 22-year-old woman on the cusp of her future. She was born on January 28, 1992. Chelsea was the youngest of five siblings, Jennifer, Nathaniel, Megan, and Cassandra, and they called her Cassie. And their parents are Matt and Leanda. Chelsea was super close with her family. They shared a very tight bond. Chelsea and her siblings grew up on a farm in the small town of Mabee, Michigan, where the population is just under 700 people. Very tiny place, just a couple of churches, just a couple, you know, gas stations kind of place. Chelsea's sister Cassie told NBC24's Angie Gonzalez that all of the siblings would spend the night at their parents' house at Christmas, and they all had assigned seats on the floor for photos, which kind of makes you get like chills knowing that she ends up murdered, and you're like, how do people that are, even if you're not murdered, just dying in general is like not good.
No.
Like, because people are so permanent in their families, and when they go, it's just horrible.
But then in a tragic way.
Yeah. I
can't even imagine.
Friends and family of Chelsea say that she was a very optimistic person and was very well liked by everyone. And a friend of Chelsea's told WXYZ TV, that's literally what it's called, WXYZ TV. I'm like, okay, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Detroit, that Chelsea was very leery of strangers. And she didn't really feel comfortable around them. You know, can't blame. Mm-mm. She worked as a hostess at Olga's Kitchen in Monroe, Michigan during this time period. And Monroe is just like, you know, a big city, like a bigger city near maybe where she's from.
Chelsea was only a couple of credits away from receiving her high school diploma. It was reported that Chelsea struggled through public school, which is not unlike a lot of people. And Chelsea was actually said to have been researching places to get her GED, and she was planning on applying for culinary school. Chelsea had a ton of friends who had nothing but kind words for her. Her sister, Cassie, said that Chelsea was the kind of person to give you a hug, like she just loved, loved, loved giving hugs and telling people how beautiful and pretty they were. Cassie said that Chelsea and her were best friends. We can't say enough good things about Chelsea. She was and still is just so, so loved.
Like, her siblings, like, they didn't really argue. Like, they loved each other. I'm sure they argued a little, but...
Oh, yeah.
They weren't estranged. Just because, you know, I think you hear these stories, like, she didn't get her diploma, and then she went off and... did a bunch of stuff and isn't really part of the family anymore. Yeah. No, she still was. Even though she struggled with certain things, she still had a future she was planning. And that counts, you know, for something. The day that Chelsea's life would unfortunately be cut too short is Saturday, October 25th, 2014. And into the early morning hours of Sunday, October 26th, Chelsea and a bunch of her friends were going to attend a Halloween party. At a guy named Big Mike's house.
No, I've heard this before.
You have?
Yes. I can't, a long time ago.
Really?
Yeah, because I remember Big Mike and the party.
Yes. Isn't it crazy?
Yes.
Okay, so this party was going to be huge. We're talking a bunch of people. Like, just, okay. So some of Chelsea's coworkers were going and other friends of hers were going. One of Chelsea's coworkers told WXYZ TV in Detroit that she didn't feel comfortable going to the party. It was going to be way too many people for her liking. She's like, this ain't it. I'm like a homebody. That's like how she is. She said that she told Chelsea that she didn't think it was a good idea and it sounded super unsafe. That's what she told the news that she told Chelsea. In reality, we don't know if she told her that or not.
Yeah.
She could have just been saying, I told her it was unsafe.
And who said that? Cassandra?
No. A friend of Chelsea's that worked with her at Olga's.
Okay.
It's true that Halloween parties are generally thought to be wild and unsafe. Or Halloween's unsafe in general, people think. You think of Martha Moxley, you know.
A lot of people think it is.
Right. And crime does go up, but it's not murder. Usually it's, like, robbery.
Yeah, you know. A lot of times it's even, like, petty crimes. Mm-hmm.
Stealing.
Yeah.
But Chelsea didn't really let this stop her because she was going to have a ton of friends there. She felt safe. She'd been to a bunch of Mike's parties before. You know, obviously she felt safer. She wouldn't have went because she was not comfortable around strangers.
Yeah.
And let me just say, like, when we say her friends and her coworkers were going, I'm talking... She probably at least knew 20 to 30, if not more, people that were going. So, duh, she would go.
Yeah.
I think that's where people make the mistake of judging someone's decision is that hindsight is 20/20, but we have to trust that our loved ones thought that they were making a good decision for themselves, and there's no reason for Chelsea to have been hurt this night. Literally none. This was not her fault, and I don't think her friend thinks it's her fault. I think that the coworker just wanted her to point out that, hey, I didn't feel comfortable with her or myself going. I told her not to go.
So Chelsea made her own costume and she dressed up as Poison Ivy from Batman. And the costume was super cute. It was made of ivy leaves and it looked like it took a while to prepare. She also wore a dark red wig. She went all out for this party. She was so ready for a night out with friends, music, drinks, everything, you know, that comes with a party.
Mm-hmm.
And Chelsea and their friend Laura arrived after 11 p.m. on Saturday, the 27th. Chelsea left her belongings and phone in Laura's truck. Friends of Chelsea say that she was having a great time. It was super crowded, so some of her friends didn't even see her, including the host of the party, Big Mike. There is a picture of Chelsea holding a giant gallon of red wine, and we can relate to that.
Literally.
Yes.
And it's a lot of it was drank out of.
Yes.
I'm like, same.
Witnesses say that Chelsea was having a great time. She took pictures with her friends, socialized, and then Big Mike admitted to Fox 2 that the party did get out of hand, and he actually ended up shutting it down because he could not control the crowd. And keep in mind, this party is sprawling out over a big piece of land. There are two huge tents, a bonfire, a stage, and eight heavy metal bands were set to perform, including Big Mike's band.
Tell me this isn't a party I'd throw.
Literally.
It's like, it's Halloween, Corey. Just calm down.
Love Halloween, though.
I know.
And this party actually had upwards of 700 attendees. Chelsea hung out with three main people that night, Becky, Penny, and Penny's sister. Becky said that at one point she left Chelsea for a minute to go get drinks, and when she came back, she was gone. But later, this friend named Becky told the court during a probable cause hearing something completely different. The video of this testimony is low quality, so we will repeat what was said word for word now. Was there a point in time where you and Chelsea parted ways?
Yes.
And how did that happen?
Well, there was a lot of people there. She just wandered off.
Then Becky said that their friend Laura called her and said she was coming back to the party because Chelsea's phone and other belongings were in her car and she wanted to return them. So Becky said she went and got Chelsea's stuff for her, and when she returned, she wasn't there. At around...
Why? Becky told the news. I saw the interview. I saw her literal face, and she said, I went to go get drinks, and I came back, and she was gone. She tells the court, I don't know, there was a lot of people. She just wandered off. It's not her fault. She didn't wander off. Which is it?
Yeah.
Okay, why would she leave you? Y'all spent the whole night together. Anyway.
So at around 1 a.m., Penny decided that she was ready to go home, and she started to look for Chelsea, but couldn't find her anywhere. And then, like, obviously they couldn't call or text her because Becky was holding on to Chelsea's phone. And Becky said she had to leave with Penny because her keys were locked in her car. And there's so much discrepancy with what exactly happened that night and who is friends with who and who called and texted who. So we can't really say for certain what happened besides that Becky has said in her testimony. Besides what Becky has said in her testimony.
Right. It's very confusing because Chelsea came with Laura. It was just Laura and Chelsea. Becky came by herself. And Penny and her sister came separate. They had to take Becky home.
But Laura was supposed to have originally took Chelsea home.
Right, but she had to work.
Yeah, so she left. I wanted to leave earlier then.
Right.
Not Chelsea.
And we'll talk about that in a second, like them leaving her and stuff, because it's, you know. Witnesses say that Chelsea only consumed two glasses of wine, like about two glasses. And she actually had bumped her nose on a pole at the party, but they said that she wasn't really hurt by it. She just laughed it off. You probably have more than two glasses of wine with that.
Yeah.
Especially if it didn't hurt you.
Yeah.
Because you don't really feel it, you know. Which is fine. You can have more than two glasses. Yeah. Love it.
And she wasn't going to drive.
No, she came with Laura. Becky said they spent the whole night together until the end, and she didn't see Chelsea consume more than just a couple of drinks. After searching for Chelsea for a while, okay, which I don't know the exact time frame.
Yeah, I've never heard.
No. They decide that they have to leave because Penny's sister, who is also at the party, had to leave because she had work at 6 a.m. Laura and Penny both had to go to work. I mean, Laura and Penny's sister both had to go to work. So they justify leaving her by saying Chelsea knew a bunch of people at the party. We're not the only one she could have asked. And we figured she could have gotten a ride from someone. Mistake. Okay. And I have no doubt that her friends regret that decision to this day.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, to separate during a huge party like that and then to just leave. Like, I understand someone has to work at 6 a.m., but you're going to leave your friend at a 700-person rager because you have work tomorrow without a cell phone, without a car. Okay. Like, I mean, I know they're not making the right decisions probably because of drinking, but come on. It's your fault for going to a party. You had to get home so you could go to work. Okay. You knew you'd probably lose track of your friend there. You have to find them.
I don't understand why the phone was left in the car to begin with. That is so odd to me.
I know. Someone said it's because she didn't have pockets in her costume.
Oh.
But it had straps. She could have put it under her strap.
She might have been afraid that she would just get too
drunk
and lose it during the night or something. Then.
She could. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I just
feel like even in 2014, people were very attached to their phone, especially young girls.
And in all the testimony I listened to, I really do believe that the friends didn't do it maliciously, but they're trying their best to justify leaving her.
Yes.
And I don't think it sounds very good.
Yeah. I don't think they know what happened to her or anything like that.
Yeah. They're like, why'd you leave? And they have to try their best to make it seem like they didn't leave her on purpose, like that they wanted her to die.
Yeah.
They just are trying to cover up their tracks.
Yeah, and you don't want it to be like, well, we just couldn't find her, so we left. Like, no. You have to try to make up.
Explain. Yeah. Well, it's because of this and this and this and this. So it's confusing, but it's what happened.
So there have been at least 6 witnesses that have come forward saying that they let Chelsea borrow their phone to try and call her friends to come pick her up because Becky had her phone. Mm-hmm. So she called Penny and eventually got a hold of her. And Penny said that Chelsea asked her to come back to the party a little after 1 a.m. And Penny said no. Her reasoning for this was because it was late. She has kids. She was drunk, and she didn't think it was a good idea. Penny said that Chelsea seemed to understand her reasoning for not wanting to come get her, but the witnesses that let Chelsea borrow their phones said that Chelsea was visibly upset.
And crying. And yelling.
But how does that make any sense if they didn't decide to leave until 1 a.m., and then she called a little after 1 a.m., and they couldn't come back?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought you looked for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I also, Becky, thought you went to go get some freaking drinks, but then you say she just wandered off. So what happened? Why are you guys acting weird?
Yeah, you're her friends. Yeah, if she was with Becky and Penny and Penny's sister, Becky left and then she wandered off from Penny and Penny's sister?
Yeah, literally. Like,
that's odd.
They're not the killer and they're not on trial, but they did not conduct themselves properly.
No.
And it's not just with this. It's with other stuff, too. Like, they question her about her. They questioned them about Chelsea's sexual preferences. Like, rough sex. And they're like, you know, did Chelsea like rough sex? And Becky's like, I mean, stuff like that. And
why are they even asking?
I don't know. I think they got, well, you'll see why, but I think they just got way too deep into this and it makes them look really bad. And so they just try their best to look good, but.
And I think kind of no matter what, if you were the last person seen with somebody, and then they're found, like, brutally murdered.
Right. And you can't keep your story straight because you're drunk and there were 700 people.
Yeah.
And it's really embarrassing.
Yeah. And it's embarrassing because, like, we left our friend there.
Yeah. It's super embarrassing. And you feel bad for the family. Like, as a friend. Okay. Could you imagine if for one time I didn't, like, see you go home and I just left the party without us saying bye?
I know.
I'd be dead. I wouldn't make it, love. Mm-mm. Like, I would just cry. Okay, so the next morning, on Sunday, this is like, you know.
Yeah, it happened.
Were you gonna ask something?
No, what you're about to read is gonna
make you cry.
Just upset me.
Yeah. Next morning, Becky realizes that she still, you know, she has Chelsea's phone, and also Chelsea's not at home. She did not make it home from the party, so she starts freaking out and calls Chelsea's mom, Landa, letting her know what had happened and that she couldn't find Chelsea. At the same time, Big Mike gets flooded with messages on the Sunday and Monday after the party asking if he had seen Chelsea or knew where she went. He said he was a little confused because he didn't really know Chelsea personally, so it was hard to piece everything together in his mind.
But if she's been to your house before, like to your parties before?
Yeah.
You don't...
I know. See...
But it sounds like he throws extremely large parties. Right. So he probably didn't actually personally know her.
I can buy that. But when you invite them to multiple parties, how did they get invited, sir?
He might not have invited her.
I mean, maybe. That's true.
He might have just been like, hey, tell all your friends. We're you know, how people.
Right. And, like, she might know someone who knows someone who's close to Big Mike. Mm-hmm. But also, at the same time, I can't help but think it's, like, straight white male syndrome when they're like, oh, well, I don't even know her.
Know,
and it's like,
yeah.
Y'all hang out all the time.
Yeah.
You know how that goes.
Yeah.
So, but Mike decides to walk through his property and see if he can find any evidence of Chelsea, but he did not find anything. And according to an interview with Mike on Fox 2, he said that Chelsea's mom was kind of irritated with him. I assume because he threw a big party and, like, didn't know where her daughter was. You know, she was, like, irritated, which we can understand. I mean, yeah. Duh. Like, I would punch him in the face.
Yeah. Everybody would be irritated at that point, probably.
That's, like, your first reaction is to be like, well, if it wasn't for you, this wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
Right.
A couple of days after the party, a witness comes forward claiming that he saw Chelsea at the party getting upset because her friends had ditched her. And he said that he remembers it was Chelsea because of her costume. The witness said that a man he couldn't identify was lingering around Chelsea and comforting her because she was really upset. This is where police were able to come up with a sketch of a younger-looking male with glasses and dark hair swooped to one side.
Which we have on Instagram.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So at this point in the investigation, family and friends of Chelsea are focused on finding her. It's been 2 days since anyone has seen her. They're frantic. They have little answers and multiple questions about what happened to their loved one. And it's so hard to say what happened at this point. Because there are 700 witnesses, and they're all giving not-so-similar accounts of the night. So a ton of tips come in about this sketch, but none of the tips panned out.
Yeah, he literally looks like every guy in 2014.
Yeah.
So Mike was actually questioned by police because, of course, this was his party and he needed to be ruled out. Initially, Mike refused to let the police search his home. Like, okay, why?
But you didn't even know her.
Yeah. Okay. They ended up getting a warrant and searching it anyway. Love that for him. But it didn't result in any findings. I hate when someone doesn't cooperate with homicide investigation. And it turns out they were just denying it because of, like, you know, what, you got some weed or something.
I know.
Literally get over it. They don't care about your weed. They're homicide detectives.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, why not just let them do it? Literally. I don't know Mike's reasoning for saying no, but I'm just saying.
Some tips come in about a guy named Harland Bird. Harland was a 19-year-old male who allegedly attended Big Mike's party the night of the 25th. Harland told police that he saw Chelsea being tossed between two guys and pushed to the ground. Harland said he pushed the two guys off of Chelsea and got her off of the ground. He really wants everyone to know that he's the knight in shining armor. When asked to describe Chelsea, he described her perfectly, except for the fact that he didn't mention her costume at all, which led police to believe that maybe he knew Chelsea and knew what she looked like, but didn't see her that night. However, Harland said that he didn't really know what to do with Chelsea after helping her off the ground, so he put her in the seat of a red pickup truck and told her to just wait there and he'll go look for her friends. Harland said he looked for her friends, but could not find them. He said he looked for about 15 minutes, and he just could not locate them. So he made his way back to the red truck where he left Chelsea. He said when he got back, neither the truck or Chelsea were there.
Police are like, is this guy telling the truth? Literally. Because this is oddly specific. Like, is he for real? You know, so police question him hard and really ask him, like, the burning questions, the really bad questions. Like, did you rape Chelsea? Did you kill Chelsea? Do you know what happened to Chelsea? And this is where Harlan crumbles and he says, okay, like, I can see where this is going. Okay, I made it up, all right? He said he had absolutely nothing to do with her disappearance, then he actually didn't even see her that night. Police actually arrest him for lying to authorities.
Good, thank you.
Yeah, literally. Thank God they didn't let him go, because that's awful to make up.
Yeah.
Usually they just let people just slide if they lie or do prank calls.
But, like, that's a big, like, you made up this whole story about, literally. And they were probably looking for a red pickup truck and all kinds of stuff. So, during the police's investigation, they send out dogs, searchers, whatever they can get, in hopes of finding Chelsea. Chelsea's family and friends raised money and hosted benefits to help find Chelsea. They even created the Help Find Chelsea Bruck Facebook page, which has almost 8,000 members. And they ended up raising $30,000 for information leading to Chelsea's whereabouts. Police search for and question the security guards at the party, and Chelsea's family makes a plea to the public asking for help. But unfortunately, the case stalls for a bit. They get a lot of tips, but they don't really pan out. Until sometime in March, a woman walking on her property, located a little over 2 miles from Mike's house, spots a red American Eagle flat. At first, she didn't think anything of it, so she just picks it up and tosses it in the trash. But that afternoon, when her husband gets home, she tells him about the shoe, and he's like, I think that might be this girl, Chelsea's shoe. And she's like, there's no way. And so they end up calling the police, and after examining it, the family confirms that it was, in fact, Chelsea's shoe.
Mm-hmm. So already the search is way bigger than they thought. It's 2 miles out from the party.
Yeah. Well, from his property.
Yeah. Yeah.
How big is his property?
It's pretty big. He like went out and took his dog to search it. Big Mike did, mm-hmm. You know, it's pretty big.
That's what I was assuming, for like 700 people and
right. And his family
bands and
exactly. It was at his mom's house from what I understand. And there's like acres.
It's like a farm.
It is a farm. It is a farm. So on April 5th, 2015, less than 6 months after, two friends were using a metal detector in Monroe County, about 10 miles from the site of the party, in hopes of finding, you know, valuable, you know, coins or whatever.
Yeah, anything.
So the guys entered an old abandoned building and saw what they thought was a plant, but when they looked, you know, up close, they realized it was a costume. Oh. Chelsea's costume. Though they didn't know that at the time, obviously. Thank God they called authorities instead of tossing it to the side. Because if I saw a costume, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, like, that's great.
Okay, me and Luke go to the creek every week, at least probably one time a week. Usually it's multiple times. And there have been many times that I've seen, like, some pants or like a top mm-hmm. or bathing suit, but I don't ever think like, oh, somebody's been hurt. I just think, right. Oh, somebody accidentally left something.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So they call authorities and police took it into evidence and began searching that area, going over every rock and blade of grass with a fine tooth comb. They had ground searches once again, and even a helicopter search of the area, but they just had no luck, you know, for several days.
Well, then on April 24th, 2015, so almost 6 months to the day since Chelsea went missing, a construction crew was excavating a piece of land in preparation for a home build near where her costume was found. They were checking on a piece of equipment when they spotted a female body near some train tracks near Briar Hill Road and East Newburgh Road. Police arrived at the scene and they immediately knew that this young woman had been out in the elements for months. The medical examiners took the body for autopsy, and it was the next day, the 25th, that they confirmed the body was that of Chelsea Brooke.
So they have Chelsea's shoe, her costume, and unfortunately her body. And now they can finally start to get some answers as to what happened. They began testing the evidence, they performed an autopsy, and what they found is absolutely insane. But more on that later. It was the DNA on her costume that led them to a suspect. This suspect's name was 27-year-old Daniel Clay. Daniel has a criminal history, including 10 arrests, and he, at the time, had a warrant out for child support. So, needless to say, he was more than ready to be arrested. And slowly, the pieces of the puzzle started to align for the police. Daniel was also at Big Mike's party on October 25th. Police bring him in for an interview, and here's a clip from that interview.
Daniel, D-A-N-I-E-L.
Yep.
Clay, C-L-A-Y.
Mm-hmm.
You have the right to remain silent, you understand? Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. Do you understand?
Yeah.
You have the right to talk to a lawyer and have him present with you while you are being questioned. Do you understand?
Yeah.
I think the thing is, Daniel, all right, is you're telling me there's a possibility. You had sex with a girl in the backseat of that car?
Yeah.
It was backseat, right?
Yeah.
You had sex with a female that had dark hair in the back of your car?
Yeah.
All right? You're telling me you left alone?
Mm-hmm.
There's a possibility, all right, a likelihood, and I say likelihood, which I'm 99.9% sure that it was Chelsea that you had sex with.
Like, I don't remember who I had sex with that night. I know I was f***ed up and I had sex with someone. I've always wondered if it could have been her or not, and then you guys called me and it freaked me out.
Well,
I didn't want to say I had sex with somebody, and then find out it's her, and then, you know, she disappeared. And
yeah.
I know I left alone. I know I didn't do anything. I don't even know where the f*** her costume was found at. I don't know where that spot is. I do know the other spot, like, the area. I don't know where she was found along there.
See, but the thing is you remember, I mean, it's coming back. It was skin, right, from force, from tear. Your DNA cells were on where her crotch was torn and where her top was torn.
From grabbing it or something.
Okay. So that's where your DNA was.
Okay.
I'm past that.
Okay.
Right? I know that you tore that.
I didn't tear it.
We're past
it. Hold it off or whatever. Yeah.
Okay. So, but it was torn. You had to tear it.
I didn't tear it.
But I'm not getting
that. Could have been somebody after me or something.
Okay.
Or something.
So there was, and this is the thing. All right.
There had to be somebody after me. Something
listen to me, Daniel. We're past all that.
Okay.
All right. I have your DNA where her stuff was torn. Nobody else's. Nobody. No one.
Okay.
This is where we're at. Okay. This is where it's time. Something happened when you left with her. When you left.
Did not leave her.
Either something happened where it was intentional, unintentional, accidental. Okay, so listen to me. Now is the time for you to tell us what happened, because are you that monster murderer?
Okay. It wasn't
intentional. You intentionally?
No, I did not intentionally hurt her.
Okay, then we need to know what happened. Okay, there's a big difference.
And she did get freaky.
Okay.
And we sat there and then she's like, all right, well, let's go. Because we had sex there. Then we left.
Okay.
And had sex somewhere else.
Where somewhere else?
I don't
know.
It wasn't Briar Hill Road. We were just driving around.
Okay.
Having sex. Because she did, like, leave, and I seen her as I was pulling out. She's like, I'm about to walk. I'm so tired of this. I'm like, stop in and we'll go.
Okay.
She's like, okay.
Okay.
And had sex. It got rough. Like,
rough
she likes it right.
I know.
Got choked and stuff. Yeah. And then she got up, and I freaked out. I was wasted.
Okay. So, hold on. Let's stop. Now, this, you feel like a lot of shit just went off your chest, don't you?
Yeah, because it's something that,
it's something that eats you up. All right?
Much. I don't know. I'm telling you, I don't remember.
Without an explanation, you realize you're going to look like an animal.
I know.
You know that.
I was blacked out. I don't know. What am I supposed to say? Like,
you remember details.
I remember details.
You remember Daniel.
I remember parts.
You just don't want to say.
I remember parts. So
that part we need you to remember.
I don't know. Like, I remember going like this and hitting on it and trying to wake her up after I couldn't give her a CPR. I could get the ones here. The jaw thing, I literally have no idea how I did that unless, like, while I was getting out of the car, I hit her head in the door or something, maybe.
And it would have had to have been a smash.
I mean, not on purpose.
I could see that.
That I could understand if I did it not on purpose. You know, I was upset and I was losing my mind. But I never did it.
You would have purpose.
In Daniel's version of events, Daniel said a chick was walking on the side of the road when he decided to pick her up. He said he didn't know it was Chelsea at the time. He said that Chelsea wanted to have sex with him, so he drove a few miles down the road and pulled over. He said they pulled over and went in the back seat and they had rough sex.
Hold on, can I stop you there?
Mm-hmm.
I just realized, okay, I know he's lying about picking her up on the side of the road, but yeah. I just realized you want us to believe that you are so lucky that a woman suddenly wants to have sex with you, so you pull over?
That you randomly found?
Yes. And you're like, okay, let's fuck.
I don't know you, but you might have STDs or anything.
Literally.
But let me just pull over a few miles down the road.
Yeah. And, okay, he's like, I picked her up and she wanted to have sex, so I pulled over. It ain't it, Chief. I don't know what to tell you.
He said Chelsea wanted him to choke her, and he said he started choking her for about 20 to 30 seconds, and she went limp.
Sounds familiar. A lot of guys say that.
He said he tapped her face, but she wouldn't come to. He said he took her out of the car and tried to perform CPR, but she was gone. He drove around for a while with Chelsea in the back seat. He decided the best place to put Chelsea is where he would smoke weed from time to time. He said he sat there, quote, for about 20 minutes and cried my ass off.
I'm sorry, but...
I know.
I cried. They always say that. I cried.
I cried my ass off.
I was so sad.
He said he covered her with a few leaves and sticks and then went home. So, Daniel Clay was initially charged with second-degree murder on July 22nd of 2016.
Not even 2 years after.
No.
Period.
Thank God.
Thank God, because this is one of those cases that could have been unsolved because of how huge the party was. So, but the police know that more than what Daniel said happened to Chelsea, you know, they know there was more to it.
Well, you can't choke someone for 20 to 30 seconds and then die, I'm sorry.
No, that's like the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Never.
No. So on May 8th, 2017, Daniel went to trial. An autopsy by the Wayne County Medical Examiner's Office showed Chelsea died of multiple blunt force trauma to the face. Dr. Lee... Dr. Lee Lavati testified during a pretrial hearing that Chelsea suffered multiple fractures of her nose, her eye sockets, and her jaw, and he had chipped two teeth. The medical examiner said that the fractures in her face are usually consistent with a car accident. That's how violent this assault was. Also, Chelsea's costume was ripped at the shoulder and in the crotch area.
It fractured her eye sockets?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And jaw.
Like, do you know if it was this part or like this?
Like, her whole occipital bone was crushed.
Both of them?
I don't know if both. Okay.
Oh, God.
So, her costume's ripped to pieces. And all of these things are consistent with what Michigan calls, I love this, quote, criminal sexual conduct, which is literally rape. It's rape, all right? Criminal sexual conduct. No, it's rape. And according to the medical examiner, after being unconscious, Chelsea would have had to be strangled for another 2 minutes. So take how long it would take to get her to pass out. Then after that, it would need 2 minutes.
Which was not 20 to 30 seconds to get her to pass out. So
no. It would have to be so hard that the blood flow and airflow was cut off during the whole thing. That is not consistent with a 20 to 30 second choking. And the only one that the only thing that the prosecution keeps pushing into the minds of the jury and the defense is that if it was an accident, why didn't he call 911?
Why do they never?
Like, I know.
I don't. That's how, like, I don't understand how anybody can say, well, it was an accident, but I didn't call the police.
Yeah. Okay. Like, they're supposed to help accidents.
Yeah, like.
And she could have been saved if you accidentally choked her too long.
I mean, and if you started doing CPR, wouldn't you call to get professionals?
Yeah.
To do CPR?
And also, you broke her jaw, broke her nose, and her eye, and chipped 2 teeth.
Yeah.
And you're trying to give her CPR?
Literally.
Bro, forget it.
Yeah.
Also, when you hear a lot, like especially on the Vanished podcast, people that are addicted to a substance, maybe they OD and go missing. Maybe they hung out with friends that didn't know what to do and kind of got rid of the body.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's might be a reason why someone wouldn't call 911 when you get scared.
I mean, if you're doing drugs and you have a friend also doing drugs and they OD, you probably aren't going to want to call the police because you're high and probably have other drugs.
Yeah. And you're like, I don't want to get in trouble. They're going to think I did it. Yeah. They're going to think they got it from me.
Oh, yeah, because that's, you know, a...
What if it's fentanyl?
Yeah, if it's laced, you can get arrested.
And what if they did get it from you, but you didn't mean for them to die?
Yeah.
So, in that case, it's not understandable. I don't want to say that.
No.
It's not an excuse, but it's a reason.
I can see how someone would not.
Mm-hmm.
So, when the prosecution asked Daniel why she had skull fractures and other injuries, he said he may have accidentally slammed her head in the car door while pulling her out. And actually, surprisingly, Daniel took the stand in his own defense. And here is a clip from that testimony.
Mr. Clay, did you cause Chelsea Brooks' death?
Yes.
Did you intend to cause her death?
No, I did not. Because I didn't mean for her to die. Didn't mean for this to end like this. I don't know how to do CPR. I did attempt, you know, pressing on the chest like I've seen on TV. Pressed and breathed a couple times. Tried that. I got nothing. Kept going through my mind of what I was going to do. All I could think of is I was going to end up in jail for something that was an accident. I then sat her down in one spot and started to grab some sticks and put them on top of her. I just kept thinking, am I a monster that did this? And I'm not.
You may have accidentally slammed her head in the car door.
You don't know if you closed the door on her head or not, like hard, like. I would think it would have to be even multiple times to break a jaw, a nose, and an eye socket, and chip teeth.
Yeah. And it makes me kind of wonder if part of it is not true. And that he just killed her that way and hit her in the face that way with the car door.
Yeah.
Because that's pretty consistent with her facial injuries.
Is being hit with a car door?
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah.
He didn't have a weapon. So, you know. And I couldn't find trial transcripts, like the murder trial transcripts. And I couldn't find many details on like all the questions, all the witnesses. So we don't know about certain things, like, you know, this is just what we do know.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, we know y'all are wondering, like, did he know her? And if he did, how?
Yes.
Well, there's a connection between them. Daniel's ex-girlfriend, Jessica, was a co-worker of Chelsea's. Sorry, it always freaks me out when it ends up being some dude in the background. Okay?
Because, I mean, he's probably been watching her.
Disgust.
Yeah.
Jessica and Daniel share a child together who was 4 and a half at the time of Chelsea's murder. Jessica testified during the trial that she saw Daniel at the party. She was also there. She said she brought her boyfriend Wayne with her. She said that her and Daniel smoked some weed that night, but didn't remember really what they talked about.
His ex and him smoked weed together?
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I know. She said that Daniel never called her or texted her or told her that he did anything to Chelsea. However, the day he was arrested, he left her 2 voicemails and told her that he, quote, fucked up big time and he was going away for a long time. But he didn't mention Chelsea, so he never outright said. He's probably embarrassed, and yeah. I would be too, bro. Daniel did have a girlfriend at the time, and actually, that's where he was arrested at his girlfriend's house. She said she and her roommate had no idea he was involved, and here's a clip from the interview with her and her roommate.
I've been nonstop crying. I can't eat. I can't sleep at all.
It's sickening.
He was nice to me, you know. He never hurt me or nothing. Swear on anybody's life that I had no idea about what he was capable of or anything that he did or whatever. Like, it was a shock to me alone already. And I don't even know what to think right now.
No, I was here yesterday by myself with him. I was in the shower when the police had came, and I'm thankful that me and her are all right. We're not the next ones that happened to.
It's just so scary because, you know, we were left with him and who knew what could happen. I was with him every night for the last month.
I don't think it's odd that he wouldn't have texted Jessica about Chelsea.
Yeah, no.
Or called her. Like, why would he?
You're
not going to say, hey,
I killed Chelsea.
Yeah, killed that girl that you worked with.
Yeah.
I know we have a son together and stuff, but I killed her, so.
I know we smoked weed, but we're not close enough for me to tell you I killed Chelsea.
Yeah. So, what we find interesting is that when they asked if he intended to cause her death, he said, no, I did not, and shook his head back and forth.
Punch. I want to punch him.
Yeah.
I hate him. He's ugly and stupid.
So, this is a common gesture that someone will make when they don't believe what they are saying. Like, he shook his head no because he didn't believe his own words, because he did mean to do it.
I love that.
Yes.
Like, you see the physical traits, like, response, body response, mm-hmm. experts, and they tell you,
yes.
like, in YouTube drama videos.
I love.
And when you say something while shaking your head back and forth, that means you don't believe what you're saying. And so he was like,
crazy.
No, I did not. Shaking his head. No, I did not. That means he doesn't believe his own words.
So on May 16th, 2017, the jury took less than 3 hours to find a verdict. And unsurprisingly, and thank God, they found Daniel Clay guilty of felony murder, which is upgraded from his original charge of second degree murder. Daniel Clay was despondent as they read his verdict. He was not emotional at all. Daniel was sentenced to mandatory life in prison with no possibility of parole. After the trial, Daniel was also convicted of sexual assault in an unrelated case.
I'm glad they went after him for it.
Yeah, I am too.
Because you know how it is. Some DAs will drop pending charges because they're already in life, you know?
But those victims, especially of like a sexual assault, she deserved her justice.
Oh, yeah. After Daniel was sentenced to life in prison, Chelsea's mother, Leanda, had a few important words to say to the press. Quote, there's never been a day or a moment that goes by that we don't think about her. We talk about her. This picture sits right in a prominent spot in the house. Like she's there, and I will talk to her in my mind. You don't forget somebody, especially a mother that has carried that child, end quote. And that was the case of the murder of Chelsea Brooke.
So sad. So, so sad.
Yep. 22 years old.
I want to know how he found her, though. Like,
yeah, that's what I was meaning to say about the trial, not knowing stuff. Uh-huh. I don't know what the prosecution asked everybody. I don't know how he
obviously actually found her. She wasn't on the side of the road and he just found her.
No, obviously he probably coaxed her away.
He probably, from the party. Well, I mean, he probably saw her get upset that her friends ditched her, and he knew her because he worked, or he had dated Jessica.
Mm-hmm.
So he probably said, I'll give you a ride home, or...
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah?
Like, I have a child with Jessica, you work with Jessica.
And he probably has, or Chelsea had probably seen him, like, come into their...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
To Olga's and...
Mm-hmm. And I don't know the details of if... I can't say with 100% certainty that there was a sexual assault. I read nothing about that. He's the one that mentioned sex. But I never got that confirmed. I assume that they did have sex. But the DNA off her costume is what got him. Not seminal fluid or anything like that. It's a sexually... I mean, and if they did have
sex, he could have wore a condom or...
Yeah.
You know.
And I don't know if he did, whether it was pre or post mortem. We don't know anything like that. You know, and that changes probably how the story would go. And the fact of the matter is that we're so passionate and sad about the loss for the family and for Chelsea. But there's so many unanswered questions still, even though it's closed.
Yeah. But her family might have answers.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know how it is. We'll never know all the answers to any case.
No.
I'm sad.
I know. That was very sad.
It was a tough one. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Should we do bullshit and banter?
I just wanted to mention a case that has been on my mind a lot. If you don't know who it is, Alicia Navarro. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know who that is, look her up. I don't know why, but I just can't not think about her.
I know. And I've been thinking
about my heart so bad.
I've been thinking about Delphi a lot lately, more than normal. And of course, before you guys even ask, yes, we know about Gabby Petito.
Oh, yes.
And Brian Laundrie. Yes. And yes, we are keeping an eye out for him. Because we live in a very rural area. Mm. I work in Western North Carolina. We live in the Tennessee, Georgia area.
We literally go, like, to the creek or, like, mm-hmm. it's around hiking trails.
Most people have cams.
Yeah.
So... You know, I don't know if he's up here. If I had to guess, he's somewhere in Florida and he's killed himself. That's my guess.
Yeah.
I hope he's alive so that we can prosecute him.
And so Gabby's family can have some answers.
Right. And I've seen a lot of people complain and say, let's see attention for other missing people, like with Gabby. And... that's kind of backhanded.
Yeah.
Because Gabby deserves it.
Yeah.
Everyone deserves it. But, you know, she's got attention. And she's gotten more attention than most people. 100%.
Yes.
But you can't, like, say that. Like,
I know.
It's so mean. Kind of. Yeah.
Because I feel like if that was my child... and she was getting all this, or anybody I knew, and she was getting all this publicity, like, to find out what happened to her and get justice for her, I would be so happy.
Of course.
Like.
And what if someone to your face said, why does everyone care about your daughter?
Yeah, exactly.
What's so special about Gabby?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, her family's probably getting on there, and they're probably so thankful for all the, like, people sharing, and, you know, yeah. people are making bracelets that say Gabby.
Right.
And I've seen different things like that.
Memorial at the, her, you know, the site.
Yeah.
And
I feel like it would be so hard to then get on somewhere or, like, on a social media platform where you have been, you know, pretty loved, but then to get on there and have people be like, why is this girl getting all the attention? Because she's a pretty young, blonde, white girl.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
I mean,
it's a good case.
Yeah.
That's a good case to make. All right. Because she is young and pretty and white and skinny and stuff. And that probably has a lot to do with it, because there are so many people, minority, that need help
mm-hmm.
locating, like, they need help. They're missing. They're unsolved cases. And it's just a fact that white people get more attention.
Yes.
One of the cases we're going to do this week is a young girl that gets abducted, and she gets some of the best attention for her case. Very reminiscent of Gabby Petito, but happened way long ago. I don't know that they'll ever find Brian. If they don't find him, I would say within the next 6 months, he's dead.
I'm wondering how long they'll search.
Yeah. See, that's another thing. They've only searched this long, I'm sorry, but because of social media.
Yes.
Usually it's cut.
Yeah, cut that's off what in a couple I was weeks. Wondering because there was, you know. And I saw Upchurch, Ryan Upchurch,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
offered a $50,000 reward.
Mm-hmm.
I looked, and if you, like, could tell where Brian Laundrie was, you would have like over $100,000 in the reward money. There's right. that many rewards out there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I didn't really expect us to get into this case so much, but I think it's good for us to put our opinions out there about the case, because we consume so much true crime.
Mm-hmm.
And I obviously we agree with the majority of people that his parents had something to do with it. They probably know where he is.
Yeah.
And I don't know that he would have told them that he's going to kill himself, because they wouldn't have let him go.
I don't know if they know where he is or if they just know where he was dropped off.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I think they definitely have more information. It's difficult. It's horrible. It's a horrible case.
Yes.
And, you know, even with Delphi, there's like a $500,000 reward, but it still didn't get this much attention.
I know.
But at no point did I ever think, how dare them post so much? I'm like, oh my God, thank you. Thank you for giving us information.
Mm-hmm.
Every little development, thank you. Because that's what we want.
Yeah.
We don't want to hear a whisper and then nothing ever again.
Mm-mm.
Like, what about Summer Wells? Hello?
Oh.
Hello?
I've been thinking about her a lot, too.
Yeah.
I can't. Like, she's not out there. Or if she is, like, it's probably a really bad situation for her.
Yeah.
Like,
why? I understand.
They're not, like, I know they don't know where to search anymore. Like, they've searched what they can, and they've asked and talked to who they can.
Right, they don't have as many leads as Gabby.
I think another thing, too, that got this so big was that she had a YouTube video posted where you could see them.
Yeah.
And they had a lot of Instagram posts
right.
up, both of them. And then it happened across country.
And wasn't she working on a blog?
Yeah.
Yeah. They had a very Pinterest life,
yeah.
it looked like. Oh, another thing I want to mention is I saw this thing that said, don't teach women to leave abusive relationships. Teach men to not be abusive. And I just want to say that how about both?
Both. Yeah, I was about to say do both.
Because that perpetuates an idea in a young woman's mind. Okay, maybe he can be taught.
Yeah, to not be.
Yeah. So I shouldn't leave because they told me not to leave because I'm hoping that he's taught.
Exactly.
And it's not, how about let's all look at relationships differently? And women should leave if they're uncomfortable, obviously. Women yes. should leave if they're being hurt. And another thing.
And men should also.
Yeah.
Not just women, men.
Of course. Yeah. There's a lot of men that are abused mm-hmm. sexually.
And women are very, like, mentally abusive. They're very good yes. manipulators.
Yes. Like sirens, literally. Yeah. I don't know. It's just so messed up. I hope we wish the best for the family, obviously.
Yes.
We hope they find answers. We hope it's, sorry, but we hope it's not another Delphi and we're like waiting 400 years later.
Yes.
There's no reason for that. I'm sorry.
No.
I'm like, Indiana State Police, I will punch you.
Yes.
We need more info.
And we also hope that Kayleen and Crystal's family also get the answers. Because I know a lot of people are saying that they think that's connected. The police have said it's not, but...
The two in the hotel?
In their tent.
They were in a tent?
Yeah, they tent camped.
This is connected to Brian Laundrie, someone thought.
People think, okay. But the police have said no.
And they're a couple?
Yeah.
And one of them worked at that restaurant?
It's a co-op grocery store.
Okay, and that's where they were arguing.
Yeah, the Moonflower. And then okay. that's where the person had called the police because he saw them arguing outside. The Moonflower, and that's where we get the body cam.
And they think that Brian Laundrie shot these two young women.
Some people do. The police say no, that there's no connection.
Why do they say that, do you think?
Why do the police say that?
Why do you think the police think there's no connection?
I have no clue. I literally have no clue how they can make that assumption unless, I mean, they have to would know something that we don't know, and they do, I'm sure.
Well, I know that they were shot, and there's rumors on Reddit and everything that Gabby was shot.
And there's been some, like, pictures and stuff I've seen, and obviously I can't say, like, this was not Photoshop because I don't mm-hmm. know, but it looks like a pistol laying mm-hmm. in.
And maybe the guns didn't match.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe he's not registered for both of the guns. Maybe just one gun, and it's the one that killed Gabby.
But you it's know. So easy to, like, get a gun and not be registered.
It could have been the girl's gun.
Yeah, they could have had one. I don't know.
I don't know how they ruled that out. It's a horrible coincidence.
I think they ruled it out before even finding Gabby's body.
Oh, yeah. They ruled it out before he was even in, like, had a warrant when they were just looking for him because he was a person of interest.
I don't know how... I don't know. They can just say, like, nope, not connected. Sorry.
And we have to trust it.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah, I hate that. But I don't know why, but there's been a lot of cases just weighing yeah. on me so much lately. Obviously, Gabby, I was very, very sad when they found her body because I was really hoping that this was a hoax and that she was just going to come out and be like, oh, I'm fine. You know, that's what I really, really hoped.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I didn't believe that really.
Yeah.
But I wanted it to be true.
Yeah. And I looked at the couple and I, honest to God, made a judgment and was like, how? They don't look like they would. He doesn't look like he'd shoot her.
I know. He doesn't.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to say. And I've had at least like 5 or 6 people message me about this case. Mm-hmm. I know y'all want answers from us, but we literally have none.
Yeah. And I don't, so many people have gave time to this. If you want to hear like some full details, Crime Junkie, Kendall Ray, mm-hmm. Stephanie Harlow, a lot of people are getting, Bailey Sarian hasn't.
Okay. And I know that there's a ton of Reddit resources, which, you know, go with that what you will.
Yeah.
And then there's also several TikTok accounts dedicated just to that case.
Yes.
So.
On a lighter note a little bit, have you seen the not the real Brian Laundrie on TikTok?
Yes.
He looks just like him. I was scrolling and I was like,
He's posting TikTok?
I know. Did you see the TikTok where he had to get on a plane and he wore a bucket hat and big sunglasses. Yes,
and his mask.
I don't blame him.
You couldn't see his face at all. Oh, I can't believe they let him on.
I would literally get a hairpiece in the meantime.
Yeah. He looks like him. He said that he didn't know at first, but he was in a bar with his friends the night it was all kind of breaking. And he said six or seven people came up to him and were like, "Are you Brian Laundrie?" And he was like, "We don't know what you're talking about."
Yeah.
Because, it was brand new. And he said they saw it then on the news, I think, and he was leaving, and three more people stopped him to ask him if it was him.
I know.
I would have to do something, shave the face or something.
Oh, I'd have to get I don't know what I'd do.
Well, and if you shave or anything, though, people are going to be like, "That's Brian. He just shaved his face."
I saw a bunch of people asking him questions like, "If you were Brian, where would you go?" And, of course, all the TikToks where it's when I find out Brian Laundrie has a $120,000 reward or whatever, and I live in North Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
And, the people are walking to their cars and stuff.
Yeah.
I know. It's really impacted every space on the internet. So you guys are probably informed. If you want to know all the details, go to Amber's suggestions. But that's all I have for today.
Yeah, me too. So we will see, or hopefully not next week. Hopefully before next week, you will hear from us.
Because we have plans.
Yes. So happy spooky season, and we will talk to y'all later.
Bye. Bye. You can find Crime Cafe on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at Crime Cafe Pod.
And you can email us case suggestions at crimecafepod@yahoo.com.
Click our merch link below if you want to get some Crime Cafe shirts, decals, or coffee mugs.
We also have a Goodreads profile in the show notes below. There you will find all of the books that we have mentioned or recommend on our show. It's free and no membership is required to see our library.
This episode and all of our episodes are researched, recorded, and edited by us, Corey and Amber.
All of our opinions are our own. Although we try to make these episodes as accurate as possible, some statements may be inaccurate.